your Bibles. John chapter 20, verse 21 is kind of the key scripture for our series. And we are in week 4 of our series called Sent. And in it, we've been investigating and looking at this great call that God has placed on His church. And that's us. Not the building, but on us as His people. This great mission that God has sent us on. And He sent each one of us to show and share the good news of Jesus Christ and His love with the world. And our key scripture is John 20, 21. They'll put it up on the screen. Would you read it aloud together with me? Ready? Go. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Oh, I missed a couple words on that, didn't I? You're like, why are you reading different words, Pastor? Jesus makes this great commission to us. He says, just as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you to the world. See, Jesus has sent you. He sent me. He sent each one of us into the world. And over the course of this series, we've looked at some questions. I like to look at questions. We looked at the question, if Jesus has sent us, who has He sent? And we looked at this idea that God chooses to use each one of us, right where we are, with the qualifications we have or don't have. He chooses to use each one of us if we'll allow Him to. And then we looked at this question, if Jesus has sent us, where has He sent us? And we talked about how God wants to use us in the places that He's planted us. How, yes, God will send some of us to the ends of the earth, but God wants to use us right where He's put us. In our near places and in our here places. In those places close to us, our neighborhoods, our homes. And in our communities, our circles of influence. And last week we asked the question, if Jesus sent us, why has He sent us? And we looked at this big idea that we're going to keep looking at a little bit today. This idea that lost people matter to God. And lost people should, by definition, matter to us as His sent people. And we talked about this great idea that God cares about those relationally far from Him. So this morning we're going to look at another question. It's the question, to whom? To whom has He sent us? It sounds like an English major's way of saying it. But who has God sent us to? Who are the people that God has sent us to? And it's important that we see the world as God sees the world. Because, well, quite frankly, you and I aren't God. So we don't have His perspective on things all the time. So when we're driving in our car and someone cuts us off, we don't see the perspective that God does of their day, of their life, of who they are. But sometimes we need to kind of take a step back and say, well, who has God sent us to? Let me ask you a question as we kind of get it started. How many of you have ever lost something? There's a show of hands. How many of you have ever lost something? And the rest of you are all lying. Right? Some of you lost your keys this morning, right? My wife looked over, I was telling her what I was talking about. She's like, well, I lose things like every 5 seconds. I can't find her keys. See, we all know what it's like to lose something. It's like this older guy who went to see his doctor. The man was a little bit worried as he was going in for his annual physical with his doctor. And his doctor came in and saw this look on his face and said, is there something going on? Is there something troubling you? And he said, well, the truth is, doc, yeah, see, I'm getting forgetful in my old age. He said, no, it's worse than that. I can't remember anything. I can't remember where I parked my car. I can't remember if I answered an email or a letter. I can't remember where I'm going. And when I get there, I can't remember why I got there. He's looking at his doctor and he says, well, what can I do, doc? And the doctor thought for a second and his kindest, gentlest voice, he said, pay me in advance. Good doctor. See, we've all lost things, right? We all know what it's like to be forgetful and to forget things and to misplace things. Jesus has this story in Luke chapter 15 about losing something. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there or you can watch it on the screen as well. Luke 15 verses 8 through 10. Jesus tells this story of a woman. He says, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of those valuable coins, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? You're saying, if someone had something of value and they lost it, wouldn't you search for it? He continues in verse 9. He says, and when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. That's what my wife says every time she finds her keys. Yay, I found my keys. He says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over lots of sinners who repent. No, no. Over just one sinner who repents. See, Jesus is unpacking for us this idea that we talked about last week, that lost people matter to God. And he's using this story to help us understand something practical that we all deal with, losing our car keys, or losing our coin, or wallet, or phone. Heaven forbid it's our phone. Right? Thankfully, there's apps for that. We can locate our phones. Actually, I was going to get my wife. They have a thing that will let you locate your car keys. It was like, we need some of those. But we all understand what it's like to lose something. And Jesus uses this story to show us how God thinks of us when we're relationally separated from him, when we're lost. He says, we matter to him. See, all of heaven rejoices when just one sinner repents. When just one person who is far from God says, God, I want to come home. God, I want to come back to you. God, I want a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. All of heaven rejoices when just one does that. See, that's why the Father sent the Son. See, he sent the Son, his son, Jesus, because the world mattered. Because people far from God mattered to him. He sent his Son. Why? Because he so loved the world. And that is why Jesus sends us. Jesus sends us because the world matters. Because people far from God matter to him. And because he sends us. Why? Because he so loves them. He so loves us that he sent his son. And he so loves the world that he sent us to share this good news with them. See, he sends us because lost people matter to God. And he also teaches us and shows us through the story that lost people are worth searching for. See, we live in a world where we don't hold on to things like we did a generation ago. Right? There's things that we don't do those things the way that our generation before us went. You know, your marriage isn't working out, just throw it out. You know, your relationship with someone isn't working, just get rid of it. Car isn't working, get a new one. Right? And there's always a time for new things. I'm not saying you should never buy a new car. But this thing becomes toxic when we start thinking of people in that way. We think of people the way we think of our cell phones. Something that can have a shelf life and just thrown out when we're done with it. See, and we can get that way. We can get that way with people. Say, you know, he hurt me. He's dead to me. We can get that way with our church. They did something I don't like, so they're dead to me. We can get that way in all sorts of relationships and ways. But aren't you glad that the God of the universe doesn't look at you and me that way? See, that's not the way God thinks of us. See, I'm so thankful he doesn't say, you know that Brian, he screwed up today. So, done. Forget him. I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful that's not the way God thinks of us. See, that's the why behind us getting our house in order. This house, God's house in order. It's because lost people matter and they're worth searching for. And we want to create a space that's inviting, that's welcoming, that shows them that we feel about them the way that the God of the universe thinks about them, that we welcome them with open arms, that we've been waiting for them to come, that we're actually preparing for them to show up. See, that is why we do those things. We do that in our sanctuary because lost adults matter to God. We do that in our kids' classes because lost kids matter to God. See, we don't just want to make these buildings comfortable for us, for the found, for those of us who already have heard this good news of Jesus Christ. Although we want it to be comfortable, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we want to be uncomfortable. But we want to make this place welcoming for those who are still far from God, those who are still learning, those who are still seeking the things of God. See, because there's joy in heaven over just one sinner who repents. So the question is, well, how long will we be on this mission? Is this just like a thing? Until all have heard. Until there's not one lost person in seeing me. See, Jesus over and over again uses these numbers. He said, you know, she had 10 coins. She lost just one. And she stopped what she was doing and searched for that one. Jesus used another metaphor, a story about a sheep farmer. And he said if he lost one sheep, he would leave the 99 and go find that one until he'd found it. See, lost people matter. They're worth searching for. And as a church family, we're going to live out this identity together in our gatherings, through the things we do on our Sunday gatherings together. And it's easy for us to do that. Not easy, but it takes intentionality, but it's something that we'll do together as we create an atmosphere that's safe for people far from God to experience the love of God through this place. And it's pretty easy to live out that identity here, right? To invite someone to come to a gathering. But how do we do that in the everyday normalcy of life? How do we do that beyond these four walls? How do we know who God has sent us to? See, our primary scripture today is from John chapter 4. You hear, I'll say that a lot. We have a lot of primary scriptures. But John 4, 35 through 38, Jesus says this. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you. Jesus is talking to farmers, by the way. We don't say that, but they would say that. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. He continues in verse 37 and says, for here the saying holds true. One sows, another reaps. I send you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. You're saying, you're speaking Greek. What is that all about? What is Jesus talking about? I'm not a farmer. Right? Is there any farmers in the room? This is Simi Valley. There's not a lot of farmers here. So let me break it down. He's explaining the importance of us being the sent people of God to the world around us. See, the truth is that as God's people, as His church, we each have a role to play in the lives of our community, of people that are coming to faith. We each have a role to play. And we each play a role in the work of God. Some scatter seed. And in his metaphor, he's talking about those who sow. He's talking about people who throw seed out, people who plant seed. Depends on your farming style, I guess. I'm kind of a thrower of seeds. Some of you are very meticulous and plant one seed in a hole. That's probably why I'm not a good farmer. See, but I think all of us at some seasons of our life are called to scatter seeds. We're called to live our lives in such a way in front of people, in front of an unbelieving world, in such a way that we show and share the love of Jesus that has changed us. And this, again, doesn't mean we act as if we're on a stage or on a pedestal standing high above and beyond people, because that's just not the truth. None of us are any better. We've just been saved by grace through Jesus Christ. So we live our lives in front of people in such a way that they'll see and they'll know the hope that we have. It simply means that as imperfect people, we're trusting in the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, to clean us up, to make us whole, to renew our lives. See, we aren't a perfect people, but we trust in the love and grace of a God who is perfect. See, we each scatter seed in seasons. We each play a role in the work of God. Some of us are called to water those seeds. We're called to water the seeds of God. It could be something as simple as a conversation with a coworker or a neighbor. That the seeds that have been planted in their hearts by God and through the labors of others, we help to nurture through our conversation, through our love. See, water is necessary for a seed to grow roots. Did you know that? We're kind of learning that in this drought as a state. That all our fruit, all our stuff, it doesn't work without water. And so all of us are called to water at different seasons, the seeds that others have planted. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been walking through the mall? Maybe you're going for shoes or you're looking for clothes, and you smell the smell, the heavenly smell of Cinnabon. You guys know what I'm talking about? I tried to convince my wife to make cinnamon rolls this morning. I was like, honey, I need it for an illustration. Can you make me some cinnamon rolls? She said no. But you know what I'm talking about. You're walking and you're kind of going, and all of a sudden, you smell that smell, and it's like, suddenly you're like, oh, I'm going to go look for this shoe store over here. And you start walking this direction. You know what I'm saying? Like that heavenly smell of cinnamon rolls. That smell is so good. Did you know what God says about us? He says our life should be so filled with the goodness of God that our life should be just like that. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians 2:15. It says, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. See, we are to be the aroma of God. We are to be just like that alluring smell that draws people to Cinnabon. And it works. I swear they put fans just to blow it out so that everyone will come in. And it works. See, God says, I want your life to be so saturated with the love of God that when you go about your day, you'll be the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved. And even to those who are perishing. Even to those who reject my son Jesus, that they would see your life and say, man, that smells good. Man, I don't know what they're doing over there, but I want to kind of at least go investigate what's happening. That's what our call is as God sent people, is to be the aroma of Christ. See, some people are given to scatter, some people are given to water, and some people are given the job to harvest fruit. And I believe God calls all of us to different roles at different seasons and moments in our life. But after those seeds of the good news of Jesus' love, death, and resurrection from the grave, after those seeds have grown in the hearts of people, they become available and ready to make a decision to surrender their whole life towards Jesus. To just as we sang today, to say, you are King. You're King Jesus. You're the Lord of my life. I want to surrender to you. And God does that work of drawing people to Him, but He gives us the great privilege and joy of sharing in His work and reaping that harvest, to use Jesus' metaphor, that He has prepared. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. See, this isn't our work. See, when we talk about being the sent people of God, you're like, that seems so hard. The truth is, it's not our job to make things grow. It's not our job to save our neighbors. Only God can draw people to Himself. But He chooses to use us and our simple lives and our simple meals and the simple things that we do as an aroma, as a fragrance of His goodness, that He might draw people to Himself. See, I get the privilege weekly of getting to stand and invite people to make that decision. I'll make an opportunity today. And though I get the joy of doing that, it's not my doing. It's the work of God in their lives. It's the works that you have done in planting seeds in their lives of the people that you've invited. It's your work in watering those seeds. You know, Rebecca had a great time at the women's thing yesterday. It's such a joyful time. And she recounted a story of someone who said, I wasn't planning on coming to church. I was going to leave. But then someone came and gave me a big hug. I wonder who that was. So then I had to stay. And I thought, yeah, that's it. That's what God wants to do through our lives. For some of you, just a big hug. Just be like Olaf. I like warm hugs. But God has given us those roles. And it's God who does the work. So how do we find who He has sent us to? Jesus said, lift up your eyes in our scripture today. Lift up your eyes, Jesus says. See, when we have been to the places that God has sent us, it's our job to lift up our eyes. Has God sent you to be a teacher in a school system? Lift up your eyes and look. Has God sent you to be a police officer? Then lift up your eyes. He's like, yeah, that's me. Has God sent you to work with people in whatever capacity? Where God has sent you, lift up your eyes. And open yourself to saying, God, who have you sent me to? Lift up your eyes and look. Say to the person next to you, lift up your eyes. Some of you are sleeping, so lift up your eyes. See, we don't even know how to do this very well today at all. We have this new phenomenon called distracted walking. I never thought this could be a reality in my lifetime, but distracted walking. In fact, there was a study, and it's a couple years old, from the University of Ohio, that found 1,500 pedestrians were estimated to be treated in emergency rooms for distracted walking. These are the people, and we've all been guilty, that are walking along not paying attention, whoa, and they fall down, or they get hit by a car. And these are just the people that went to the emergency department. Not like you and I, where we stub our toe, or we fall, and we look around, and no one saw us, and we get back up. Right? We've all seen it happen. People walking around just being just in their own world, and before they know it, distracted walking. See, and I think we forget to look up. And though we can laugh about doing that with our cell phones, I think some of us, we forget to look up at the world that God has sent us to. We don't notice things the way that we used to. We forget to look up in the places that are normal to us, in our neighborhoods, in the grocery store, in our workplace. See, we've all seen it happen. We forget to look up at things. See, neurologists call it inattention blindness. And they call it this because the human mind has so much stuff coming in. When we're walking around, we see all sorts of stuff that subconsciously we kind of just become blind to the things that are normal, right? That's why, you know, in our houses, maybe when we moved in, we was like, this thing really bugs me. And then after a while, you just kind of walk past it every day and then you don't see it anymore. And then someone comes over and they're like, ew, what is that? I forgot about it. I didn't notice it, right? And we can do that. See, and it happens when we stop looking up. And that's what Jesus calls us, look up. And the second part of that equation is not only look up, but to see. See, sometimes we can look up and not see. We can look at people in the eyes and not see them. We can look at our neighbors and the needs and the things that are going on around them and not see them anymore. And perceptual blindness or inattention blindness is something that affects us all. See, and I think sometimes we become blind to the people that God has sent us to. He sent us to people that we might be that aroma, that good smell of God's love. And we don't see them. We just kind of put our blinders on. And I'm just as guilty of this as you, so I'm preaching to me as I preach to you. We can go about our day and not see people anymore. To see their needs, to care to hear their stories, to know what's going on in their lives. See, people far from God matter to him. They're his treasure. You know, my sons and I, especially the bigger boys, Eli will get there. But every night we read from their story Bible. We have age-appropriate Bibles for them. We read stories from their Bible every night and we pray together. And one night, actually, we were reading this story that we heard a little bit earlier about this woman with the lost coin. And we had this conversation afterwards about how people are God's treasure that he searches for when they're lost. And Ezra, man, that kid's sharp. He caught it. He's like, people are God's treasure. Cool, got it. And he stored it away. A couple nights later, I mean, you have to know some backstory. I've got three boys. In my house is monster trucks, of course. And then always a discussion of good guys and bad guys. On the good guy side, you know, Captain America and Iron Man and Superman. On the bad guys are whoever the bad guys are that those guys beat up or stop from doing bad stuff. Well, as we were talking a few nights later, he says, Dad, because we've had this other conversation about how Jesus can take a bad guy and turn him into a good guy. And this blew his mind. Like, what? Bad guys are bad guys. No, Jesus can take bad guys and turn them into good guys. That's what he did to Daddy. And so he's saying, as we're praying a couple nights later, he says, Dad, I think we should pray for bad guys because they're God's treasure too. And it cut to my heart. And I said, son, of course. And that night I did pray for bad guys, that God would choose to turn bad guys into good guys through his son Jesus. But I also prayed for Ezra's daddy. I prayed for Ezra's dad, and that's me, that God would give me his heart, that God would give me his eyes, that I wouldn't see bad guys as just bad guys, but I would see bad guys as God sees them, as his treasure, as those that he searches out for, those that he cared enough to send his son for, those he's cared enough to send me for. I pray that he would do that in my life. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see. See the fields that I have sent you to. Jesus says that are white for harvest. They're ready. There's people all around us that are primed and ready by the Spirit of God and by the seeds planted and watered by you and others that are just waiting for an opportunity to say, God, I want to come home. See, God has prepared our city for great things. He's not done yet with New Heart. He's not done yet with Simi Valley and the surrounding areas. God has a harvest prepared, and he's waiting for a people that will simply look up and see and begin to say, God, would you give me the heart of a child that says, show me them as you see them. Show me those people that live all around me as you see them. Would you give me a divine appointment of your Holy Spirit? Would you make an appointment with me, with my neighbor, whom you look at as your treasure, that I might be the aroma of Christ to them, that I might be a pleasing smell that reminds them of you. See, this harvest is going to come because the people of God, and that's you, are willing to look up. And the question is, are you willing to look up? Are you willing to see? See, as we're sent to God's cities, to His cities, as His ambassadors, we are sent to a world that's in desperate need of a cinnamon roll, right? They're in desperate need of God's love. But the question is, will we be ready? Because some of us are going to be called to scatter seeds. Some are going to be called to water seeds. Some are going to be called to harvest, to begin those conversations of saying, would you come home to God? And all of us will be required to look up, to lift our eyes and see people as God sees them. Will you choose to be sent by God? Would you bow with me as we close for prayer? Let me ask you the question this morning. What was the God of the universe speaking to you about today? See, as we spoke about lifting up our eyes and seeing the people that God has sent us to, what was God speaking to you about? For some of you, I believe God was calling you to lift up your eyes in the places that He sent you, to re-engage with the world that He sent you to stop being distracted by those things that are just that, they're distractions, and to begin re-engaging with the mission that He's called you to. If that's you right where you're at, just pray something like this in your heart. Lord, help me to lift up my eyes in the places that You've sent me to. Help me to be aware of Your presence all around me and the people that You've sent me to that are around me every day. God, make me aware of people. Help me to engage them, to listen to them, to see them as You see them, as Your treasured kids whom You love. For the others of you, God is calling you to not just look, but to see. God is calling you to look with purpose to those people around you. No longer ignoring those people that you've become blind to. That's you. Pray right where you're at in your heart. Lord, I thank You that You thought me valuable enough to search me out. Help me not only to look at my world, my city, my neighborhood, but help me to see the people, Your treasures that are in that city. Give me Your heart for those relationally far from You. Give me a vision of how I can use my life and the gifts You placed inside me to make a difference in someone's eternity. I pray You'd open my eyes and help me to see people as You see them, Lord. And finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, I want to make an opportunity for anyone here that needs to take that very first step of faith.